Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, found on pages 981 and 982 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycles of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. I am leaning more and more into the promise and the reminder that Psalm 124 and verse 8 provide. It provides us with the thought that our God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we want to remember that in these difficult times in which we find ourselves. If you have a Bible that you brought with you, or maybe you're using the Pew Bible, I want to encourage you to turn with me to James chapter 3, and we will take a look at the verses that Jerry just read for us. Thank you, Jerry. And it is found on page, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's found on page 981 and 982. Would you pray with me just now? Let's pray. Lord, because of today's reading and its application to our lives, may we be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I would imagine this morning that most of you are quite familiar with this text. You have maybe heard lots and lots of sermons on this passage. And in that sense, I really don't have anything new to tell you. I am just here as your person to remind you, to encourage you to reflect again. But then there might be others of you, you are not familiar with James's letter, you've never read these words before, even though the concepts seem quite contemporary and relevant. Well, Lord's willing, you will hear something new and fresh that will excite you and encourage you in your journey. What I find amazing as I continue to read the Bible is that there are these two Old Testament books and one New Testament book that seem to have an inordinate amount of information about how we use words. For example, you read the Psalms and you encounter in so many of those Psalms reminders about speech, about words, about the use of the tongue. And then, of course, in the Proverbs, it's just loaded with information. It's no wonder that people compare James to Proverbs. James as some kind of New Testament version of the Proverbs, because right here in James is where we see another rich outlay of information. Some of the richest concentration of teaching on the use of words, the misuse of words, can be found in the Psalms and the Proverbs and right here in James chapter 3. And so I started wondering why this heavy emphasis, why these cautionary words. Maybe you can remember a time when a relationship imploded because inconsiderate words were spoken. They were spoken to a staff member, they were spoken to someone who reports to you, or you report to someone else. They were spoken to a friend, a roommate. They were spoken even to a stranger. Think of that once healthy relationship that now is a strained relationship that is gasping for air because inconsiderate words were spoken in gossip. And the person was told that you were the one who said them. Imagine what has become of that relationship. Think of that angry email, that text, that maybe you fired off in response to someone who said to you something that upset you. What these scenarios have in common, they display the power of words to create relationship disorder. And so why the emphasis on the tongue? Why the emphasis on words? And I think it's because the Bible cares about relationships, whether it is relationship with our Creator God, whether it is relationship with others in the church and elsewhere, whether it is even a relationship with ourselves. Words matter. And they matter because they flow out of people. Words matter because they reveal the heart. Words are the currency of relationship. And so the tongue, Lloyd Ogilvie said, can heal and the tongue can hurt. With it, we can boost or we can burden. The words that we say can either put a load on someone or they can lift a load from someone. The words we speak can give comfort or consternation. The words that we speak are powerful. So before I take my seat, I want to have you think with me then about how followers of Jesus, that's who we are, how followers of Jesus can use our words in a life-giving way. But the first thing I want you to notice, if you have your Bibles open to that page, is James's honesty. So if you look at verses 1 and 2, you see his vulnerability, you see his openness, you see his honesty. Now keep in mind, James is the senior leader of this church that is in Jerusalem, and he knows a thing or two about public speaking and preaching and teaching. And notice what he does. He cautions his readers. Not many of you should be teachers, because we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And it makes sense, because I could be standing here. I have the privilege of standing here. I have the gift each week of standing here. And we're not having a dialogue. It's a monologue. And if my motives are wrong, I could make this moment be about me. I could make this moment be about an agenda that is unhelpful, that moves the church in a different direction. And James warns us of those kinds of motives. We're going to be judged with a stricter judgment if we are using these opportunities to teach in a way that is not wholesome. Whether privately or publicly, we are accountable for our words. But the second thing he does, he admits his own failures. He says, look, in verse 2, we all make mistakes. That's a wonderful thing for a leader to do, to just be honest and not fake it till you make it. We all make mistakes. And so who among us can say, I have never sinned with my words? I have never sinned with my tongue. Words have a way of escaping our mouths before they are carefully considered, before the brain gets a chance to survey those words. So I'm here this morning to tell you that if we want order in our lives, order in our homes and in all the places where we live and work, James says, keep in check. Put a bridle on the tongue. And he says, if you can do that and do it well, you will be perfect. And I think when he said that, really, he is speaking tongue in cheek. Because he knows that no one can be perfect. The reality is, no one exercises such perfect control when it comes to their tongue. And then from verses 3 through 12, James then explains this extraordinary power that the tongue has to create chaos and disorder in our lives and in the lives of other people around us. You and I see that being played out every day in large and in small ways because we can't control our tongue. James uses a series of illustrations to reinforce the truth that this 2.5 ounce of muscle can cause great damage or it can bring great joy. Look at one of the first examples that he gives. He talks about the rider, this small, diminutive rider sitting on a 1,200-pound horse. And that small person on top of that massive horsepower can control that animal, speed up, slow down, stop. The second example he gives is of that massive ship weighing tons and tons sailing on the ocean. It's being pushed and moved around by the wind, but the pilot is able to use that rudder to control the direction in which that ship needs to go despite the fiercest storm. And then the punchline, James says in a similar way, the tongue, though small in size, has great power. I read this verse in Eugene Peterson's The Message, and I want you to see it on the screen, where he says, a word out of your own mouth may seem of no account. Oh, I was just joking. Oh, don't you took me serious on that. A word out of your own mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything, or it can destroy it. So James is saying, pay attention to your words. He gives us a third example where he compares the tongue to a spark of fire. It only takes a spark, right, to ignite a forest fire. And we're reading the news. We know what's going on with our fellow Americans living out on the West Coast, the homes that took a lifetime to build that have been destroyed in less than an hour, raging fires destroying hundreds and thousands of acres because someone maliciously set that fire, or maybe there was a lightning spark from the heavens. And this conflagration just sprung up. James says it's just like that. The words we speak can be a spark. Have you ever heard someone say this? And maybe you've even felt this. You know, when that person said those things to me, it really burned me up. You've heard that before. That's what he's talking about, that words have the power to ignite all kinds of emotions in us, and we act on them in ways that are not always appropriate. That's the power of the tongue and its ability to spark anger and conflict. But notice what Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarrelings will cease. The wrong words can inflame. The wrong words can cause great damage. But that conflict can be minimized when the words are few. Let me give you an example from an article that I read in the New York Times a few years ago, and I kept it because I thought it was such an apt description of what we're reading here in James chapter 3. And it's about a small town in Missouri called Mountain Grove. And here's how the article describes Mountain Grove. Gossip and rumors have always existed in this tight-knit community. Before the days of anonymous social media sites, people traded stories at the local diner called Dee's Place. At Dee's Place, you could usually find a dozen longtime members who gathered each morning to talk about the weather. They talked about politics, of course, and they talked about their neighbors. But according to the article, more people in this, the article describes as a hard-scrabble town of 5,000 residents, have shifted from sharing the latest news over rumors, over coffee and eggs, to a social media site called Topics, where you can write and read startlingly negative posts. And they're all cloaked in anonymity. Topics then can pick different names. Topics users can pick different names. And in so doing, they remain anonymous. And so in Dee's Place, people today are not happy. A waitress by the name of Phoebe Best said that the site has provoked fights and it's caused divorces. The diner's owner, Jim Deverell, called Topics a cesspool of character assassination. And then hearing the conversation, Shane James, the cook in the back, wanders out from the kitchen, and he is rigid with anger. He is because his wife Jennifer had been the target of a post which described the wife, his wife, his the mother of his two kids, as a methed out, doped out addict. And of course, James is there telling him, not a word of it is true. I know my wife, she's none of these things. And now the couple are resolved that they're moving out of Mountain Grove. And they said, we will never come back to this town. And we can't wait to get out of town. Mountain Grove was set on fire by out of control tongues. Been a pastor a long time. And I'm sad to say that I've witnessed the same thing happening in churches. But there's another side to this. There's a wonderfully encouraging, hopeful side to this. Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says that a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Isn't that beautiful? A gentle tongue is a tree of life. But perseverance, or perverseness rather, breaks the spirit. And the question for you, the question for us, is which do we have? Do you have that gentle tongue? Or do you have that word, that tongue, that just breaks people's spirit wherever you go? I read a very troubling story about one of our nation's presidents from years gone by. This president isn't alive anymore, Lyndon Johnson. And it described Johnson as a very manipulative, angry, lacking in decorum and respect for the people who worked for him, and also for the reporters who reported on him. And if you wrote an article and you didn't give him the right props and say the right things about him, Johnson, according to this book, had that ability to skewer you. And the story is told of a young reporter described as sort of heavy and overweight. They were walking behind, the press group was walking behind the president, following him across a field, and supposedly the president looked back at this overweight reporter and said, "Come on," and he called his name and said, "Can't your fat legs keep up with me?" Said it aloud, said it in front of the whole press corps, and he broke the spirit of that young man. Words are powerful. Look at the irony that you find in James. Verses 3, verses 7 and 8. The irony. James says, people can tame every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by human beings. And then you hear this sense of gloom. But no one can tame the tongue. We can tame a tsetse fly. We can get a dolphin to do what we want it to do. But no one can tame the tongue. He describes it as a restless evil, full of deadly poison and contradictions. And then he gives examples. He gives these examples. Verses 9 and 10, he says, one moment we're praising God in the church, and the next moment, from that same tongue, we are berating and cursing a fellow human being, also made in the image of God. And so he says, from the same source comes good and evil, comes compliments and curses, words that will heal, words that will hurt. And he says, brothers and sisters, how can this be? In verse 11, he talks about a spring that has brackish water and fresh water. And he says, you can't have those two elements coming from the same source. Neither does a fig tree produce olive. A grapevine does not produce figs. If no human being can tame the tongue, then where is the hope for you and for me? Where do we find hope? And I'm here to tell you this morning that indeed we cannot tame the tongue, but there is someone who can. That the hope comes from inviting the Holy Spirit to help us to speak grace-filled words. But first, we have to acknowledge that we have a problem. We have to acknowledge that we have a tendency to be so angry with each other. We have a tendency to use words as a cudgel, as a sledgehammer, and we're guilty of leaving carcasses behind us when we're through telling people a piece of our mind. We need to admit that we have a problem. And the problem here is not just the capacity of our tongues to sin. That's really not where the problem is. James reminds us that it's impossible to control it. But the reason why we can't control it, it's because it goes deeper. Jesus says that we have to change our hearts before we can change the way we speak. That the problem that you and I have, it starts from in here. And sometimes when I was a kid and I get real upset and I say the wrong thing, my excuse is, well, my sister made me say it. Or so-and-so made me do it. And James would say, no, that's not going to cut it. The problem that you and I have, it's not caused by anyone. It starts right in here. Jesus says it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so we need to fix the heart if we're going to fix the way we speak. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will equip us to be effective teachers. I want you to not only participate in this fall's series of classes that we're offering, but if you can't go, I want you to pray for our teachers. Because James says they're held to a different standard. Pray that the Holy Spirit would impact our teachers so that they can help us. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can empower us to zip it. Only the Holy Spirit can equip us to not only praise God, but also bless people. And when our speech like the rest of our lives, it's being transformed by the work of God, then we are set free to do a lot of amazing things with our mouths, with our words. We can then truly say Jesus is Lord. And it's not just lip service. It's not just a song from the hymn book. It's not just a prayer that we're praying, but we're saying it from deep within that Jesus is Lord when the Holy Spirit takes control. When the Holy Spirit takes control, you will praise Jesus' name. You will express gratitude and actually mean it. And it doesn't matter to whom you're speaking. You could be in the checkout line. You bought a $5 packet of candy. And you can look that person in the eye and say, thank you very much. Have a great day. And you mean it because the Holy Spirit has control of your tongue. But when the Holy Spirit is at work, we can confess our faults to one another. And the fact that you are not seeing yourself, the fact that you're not saying, I have a problem with anger, I have a problem of speaking out of turn, it means that there is room in your life. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian, but it just means that there is room to grow. And one place to grow is to confess your sin to another. Now, that's a gutsy thing to do, but that's what James did. He said, we all make mistakes with our tongue. He was confessing it. And later on in the letter, he says that if we confess our sins to one another and we pray for one another, guess what? We're going to be healed. Just by being open about who we are and where we are and the nature of our struggle. When the Holy Spirit is in charge, we then will find ourselves looking for people to give them a word of encouragement through a letter, through a text, through a coffee conversation, because it's no more about you. You are God's messenger. Your tongue is a tree of life, and it's bearing fruit. But God has to get a hold of you. God wants to get a hold of your life so that Jesus might be seen. And Jesus, of course, was the most loving person who ever lived. And Jesus had all of these qualities. And so we're being invited by James to learn Jesus, to follow Jesus. Think about it. When Jesus died for you and me, he died knowing that we had all these specks, we had all these logs, we had all these issues in our lives, and yet he forgave us. And when Jesus gets a hold of your life, you're going to look at your partner, your friend, another person. You're going to see their faults. You're going to see their weaknesses. You're going to see their struggles. And with the help of God, you're going to say, I know what you're going through. I struggled with some of the same things. Let's talk about it. Let's pray together. And you no longer become one of those fault finders. But you're lifting up your brother, you're lifting up your sister. The reason why this is so important for us as the church today is because we as a nation are going through an election cycle. It's happening right now. So it's not just the politicians who use their tongues inappropriately, who use words to destroy and use words to flatter and to spread lies. It's not just the politicians who are doing it. We're right there with them. We use our tongues to praise God on Sunday. And as soon as you hear that your pewmate, your neighbor, is voting for the other party, you begin to use your tongue in some inappropriate ways to describe your neighbor and to separate yourself from that person. Oh, I'm never going to talk to you because I hear you're one of those. And as Christians, that should not be the way in which we live our lives. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to speak grace-filled words in this election cycle. We need to think of others more than we think of ourselves. We need a new Pentecost in the church. At the end of the service, some of you, as you're heading home, you may walk out these doors and make a left, and you're going to go down the hall. As you're going down the hall, you're going to see these two columns. And behind those columns is where you can hang your coat during the winter. But on the front of the column, there is a prayer there by St. Francis of Assisi. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a practical prayer. It is an example of what order looks like in our lives when we use our words in a God-honoring way. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it confessionally, pray it repentantly, and ask the Lord to make you an instrument of His peace. Would you pray this prayer with me? Let's pray together. And I want you to pray it out loud. Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. My brothers and sisters, we need that prayer operative in the church. We need it. We need you then to take this life of Jesus with you to work. Take him with you into the bedroom. Take him with you at the dinner table. Take him with you when you're in the store. Take him with you when you're driving around DC. Say, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. We need it today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people say, amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of our mouths, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. May they be encouraging and healing and helpful to those who need our words this week, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and God's people say, amen. We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.